reporting from Canada's original number one campus radio station on unceded and traditional Stolo territory. My name is Stephen Munga, and this is the Valley Roundup. The city of Abbotsford is among cities where Pride-related events are protested. Abbotsford and surrounding cities in the Fraser Valley have been holding storytime events in which drag queens read to children attending with their parents in public libraries and museums. These events are put together in collaboration with the city's Pride organizations. Most recently, on January 14th, a protest happened at the Coquitlam Public Library where anti-vax protesters waved homophobic signs and yelled insults and slurs. A similar situation occurred during the summer of 2022 in Abbotsford at the Reach Gallery and Museum. We spoke with co-executive director Ali Slack of the Fraser Valley Youth Society and drag performer Frankie about the event and the events that took place. So how did the event come to be? Who were the people involved in putting the event together?
Fraser Valley Pride runs as a fundraiser for Fraser Valley Youth Society, which is a 2S LGBTQ plus youth organization. And part of Fraser Valley Pride is not just having one day of events, but trying to bring together community partners and community members and put on different events for Abbotsford and for the Fraser Valley. And so we were working with the Reach Art Gallery in putting together some kind of event that promotes inclusivity and diversity for 2S LGBTQ plus youth and families and children. And what came to be in conversations with the Reach and with Fraser Valley Pride is hosting a drag storytime event, which would bring kind of our community together to share culture and that piece of drag and inclusivity, but also be able to read books to families and just kind of share and also invite people into another safe space like the Reach.
Can you take us through the events that transpired once the event started?
So on that day, myself and three other performers had arrived early at the Reach Gallery. And when we had arrived, there were no protesters outside. So everything seemed like pretty normal. It seemed like this would be a really like kind of regular event. I think probably about maybe 15 minutes before the event started, protesters started showing up. And I got a text message, protesters are here. And I'm like, oh, okay. It started out with just like one person. And then it eventually grew to, there was probably maybe about 15 protesters outside. It escalated quite quickly and they were very agitated. They had signs with some vulgar words on them. There was also somebody who had a megaphone who was shouting out slurs and hate speech on this megaphone. And the staff at the Reach responded quite quickly. They were asked to leave, which they did not comply with. And then the Reach pretty quickly like closed all the blinds so that you couldn't see them from the outside.
Inside.
And also to staff from FBYS and from the Reach were redirecting families to a back entrance.
People were having to be snuck in pretty much because there was so much commotion in the front. At some point, police did show up. Do you have a take on if the police should have done more, or do you think that they did exactly what they should have?
So I was the one who called police at the event, or at least the first one to do so. We had one officer show up and were told that it was a difference of opinion. So there wasn't really much that could be done in terms of allowing both people to kind of share their opinions or their views. I think a lot of people were caught off guard with what happened. We hadn't pre-prepared for any protest or kind of any backlash for having this event. And so we hadn't spoken with the police in advance. We hadn't really planned out what would be done. So I want to be conscious of that too. I think going into the next year, our hope can be that we are more prepared and that others who might be attending the event, which includes police, but also just includes anyone who's attending, can kind of know what's happening and think about ways to better diffuse the situation, but also protect the community from hate speech.
And I would say like, well, the thing is, it's good in like retrospect, moving forward, let's plan accordingly for this. Mm-hmm. But it's also another thing where it's like, y'all were just trying to create a safe space to have an event. Now places that are deemed safe spaces don't even feel safe anymore. Now these things are now part of like the planning for these events because it happened at an event where you weren't planning for it. It's like now it has to be part of the plan.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened for our Fraser Valley Pride event itself, the festival in the park. Mm-hmm. We were prepared for it. We had conversations ahead of time and we knew what was going on in other communities. But when thinking about like a children and family event, when thinking about the fact that the books we were reading were specifically made for children and maybe introduce a child with same-sex parents, example, we weren't expecting any backlash for that event. Yeah, it's definitely a case of looking back, okay, what do we need to do differently? Because something that we would take for granted as just a safe space and a really innocent event was being perceived differently.
Here's a question that I'm just like thought of now is that, what are your thoughts, and you can answer this also, Frankie, like, what are your thoughts on like the city of Abbotsford when it comes to like marginalized groups? Do you feel that there is a bit of onus also on the city of Abbotsford?
I think that there's always opportunity and room for education and inclusivity training. You know, it's awesome to have a great EDI policy, but unless it's backed with action, I can see how those feelings of not feeling safe, you know, are there and present.
Is there anything that we didn't go over that you would like to speak about or have in this audio portion?
One thing I think is the education piece that you brought up and that learning. I think that's really where the event stemmed from, is that there was a lot of disinformation being spread about what drag is, about what 2S LGBTQ plus community is and what our organizations do. Because at the heart of it, we exist to support 2S LGBTQ youth and families, but also just all queer and trans people in our community, and really create safety for that. So for example, Fraser Valley Youth Society has drop-ins for youth. We're just trying to create a place where youth are connected to others, where they are able to share, where they're able to get resources they're in need of. And what people who were, I guess, quote unquote, protesting the event, or whatever terminology you would want to use, were doing was they were hearing misinformation on alternate news sites that this event was associated with child grooming or with pedophilia. And at the heart of kind of what their beliefs are, I think it reminds me of like the abortion conversation so much too, in that we're just have different differing opinions on like what is actually the issue at hand here, or what is it. And so we also think child grooming and all these things are terrible, and we're trying to protect our young people, and we're trying to protect families. But that's not what queer and trans identities are about. It's about making sure our youth feel comfortable in their bodies, and they have safety, and they have someone they can talk to, and they have things they need to be out and to be safe and comfortable and to live.
Is there anything else you want to add to that, Frankie?
Yeah, I was just going to say that there is a need for these events. Mm-hmm. There's a need for safe spaces. There's a need for the LGBTQ plus community to come together and find allyship within their community. Just like speaking to like the disinformation, like I think really a lot of them just didn't understand what the event was and like what the drag performers were doing. We were there to read stories that were pre-approved to children.
This has been the Valley Roundup, brought to you by the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. My name is Stephen Munga. For these and more stories from local journalists across Canada, visit canada-info.ca.